sixth Sunday of Easter, May 17, 2020. Does baptism overcome our sin? Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Our text, 1 Peter 3:21. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you. In 2 weeks, we will be celebrating the Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was sent and thousands of people were baptized. Who here would disagree that baptism therefore overcomes our sin? It all depends on how the concept of overcome is defined. For example, if someone who is known to drive when inebriated tells you that he has overcome his drinking problem, you would conclude that he has stopped drinking to the point of becoming inebriated. What appears to keep us from getting to heaven is that we sin not only by deed, but also by word and by thought, to the degree that we confess that we are worthy to receive both temporal and eternal punishment because of sin. Therefore, when Peter writes that baptism now saves us, is he meaning that we now have sin under control because we have stopped from such sin? Not only is that understanding of salvation contrary to our experience, but it is also contrary to what Peter here is writing. First, in regard to our experience, who here has finally overcome sin by stopping from sinning? No one. Moreover, a careful reading of the text reveals that Peter specifically does not state that baptism saves us by getting rid of our sin. Listen carefully to the entire verse 21, as Peter reminds us of how the waters of the flood in Noah's day brought 8 persons safely through water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you. Not as the removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 3:21. In a Bible study, I once asked, who remembered the first commandment as found in Luther's Small Catechism? The answer was, you shall have no other gods before me. Then I asked, what followed that? One answer was, you shall fear, love, and trust in God above all things. I said, that was not the next part of the catechism. The next part of the catechism, which occurs again and again, is a question, what does this mean? You see, it is not sufficient to know the ingredients of the Bible if you are ignorant of how they are put together. That is, what do they mean? Theology is more than knowing the persons, events, and sayings in the Bible. It is also the task of putting them together in a way that helps us to understand God's meaning of what is written. Therefore, when Peter, inspired by the Holy Spirit, says that baptism saves us, but not as a removal of dirt from the body, what does God mean? The King James is clear when it translates verse 21 that baptism is not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. The filth of the flesh refers to our sinful lifestyle. Guess what? Baptism does not mean that we stop from sinning. Instead, it means that because of baptism, we who continue to sin day after day can still have a good conscience. How is that possible? What does it mean to have a good conscience? The best way to understand that is to know what it means to have a bad conscience. When does that occur? The item that produces a bad conscience is when you realize that you have done something wrong and how it might result in a negative consequence or punishment. It's what happens when the flashing lights of a police car pull you over, what does everyone say? Officer, what did I do wrong? The devil loves to give you a bad conscience before God on the basis of your sins. Paul writes about the bad conscience of even Gentiles because of the law written in their hearts, so that when they sin, according to Romans 2:16, their conscience bears witness and their conflicting thoughts accuse them. So then, how can we have a good conscience if we continue to sin? Remember, it is not the sin that is the cause of a bad conscience. It instead is our fear of the consequences for that sin, of having to pay for what we know we have done. Baptism does not get rid of your sin entirely. It gets rid of the negative consequences entirely. What negative consequences? Specifically, the curse of the law, in that when we sin, we deserve eternal damnation. For that damnation, which refers to being forsaken by God Himself, has already been carried out by the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. He suffered the consequences of your sin. You have nothing to fear in regard to eternal damnation by having received faith to trust in Jesus as your Savior. That's not something that should only be obvious during a worship service. It also ought to be occurring in the home of every Christian. That became very obvious to me during a television broadcast of Blue Bloods, a police show starring Tom Selleck as Frank, the police commissioner of New York, with two sons as policemen, Jamie and Danny, played by Donnie Wahlberg, married to Linda, a daughter Erin as a lawyer, a grandfather, and three grandchildren. Danny arrests the head of a drug cartel, who then has a bomb explode, burning down the home of Danny and his wife. No one is injured. What is so good about this show is that the entire family, who is Roman Catholic, have a meal every Sunday after worship services, which always begins with a prayer. Danny is hesitant to eat with the family, because he feels responsible for the bombing of their home, because he went after the cartel. When he enters the room, his father, Frank, asks him to say the prayer. He does not want to, saying he does not feel very thankful right now. His wife, Linda, says, "We don't blame you, Danny." He replies, "Well, you should." One son says, "We love you." Linda, "It's just a house, Danny." Danny, "It's our home." Linda, "We made it a home. Without us, it's just a house." Grandson, "And we still got us." The father, "And when we have everyone we love, we have everything, and for that we should be grateful, and no matter the hardship and the loss, this family does not stand down ever." Danny takes his wife's hand and begins, "Bless us, O Lord, in these thy gifts," and is unable to continue. His wife and the rest of the family join in praying, "Which we are about to receive from thy bounty through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen." And the program ends on that note. I know it's only a fictional television program, but we pray that every Christian family might follow the example of that Roman Catholic family, not just in being honorable and people of integrity, but also in holding up one another by means of a Christian attitude that clearly understands the meaning of God's holy word, because of faith in Jesus Christ, who promises never to leave nor forsake us, even in the midst of a destroyed house or a virus attack. Amen. Let us pray to the Lord. For the church, that the Lord would bless and protect his people in a world where so many worship false gods, known and unknown, and that he would give his saints a clear and bold proclamation of Jesus Christ, especially in our families. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the government and those who protect us, that they may be strengthened and upheld in every good deed, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the lonely, the destitute, and the homeless, that the Lord, who preserved 8 souls in the ark, would grant them companionship, food, and shelter, and that we as his people might be his hands and feet in love for others. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all who are in need of relief, including that the Lord who gives mankind life and breath and everything would provide healing and restoration according to his gracious will, and protect those who serve and protect us. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all who travel, that the Lord who safely delivered Noah and his family through the flood would bring them safely to their destinations. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the saints who have gone before us and stand before the Lord in glory, let us give thanks to the Lord, and that we might remain steadfast in the faith until we too see Christ in glory. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that as you gave your Son to be our Redeemer, so you sent forth your Holy Spirit to sanctify and keep us in the faith. Continue to pour out your Spirit upon your church, so that, enlivened by his work in the means of grace, we continue to have clean consciences, not because we have stopped from sinning, but because we have been delivered from the curse of sin by Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.